Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show podcast. I'm Jim Jefferies. Please subscribe and rate this podcast and come and see me on tour December 1st. I'm at the Agua Caliente. Where am I at, Forrest?
Are you not? It's Agua Caliente. How can you not say this?
I'm Australian. I don't speak foreign.
That's Spanish. Agua Caliente Resort.
Which is foreign.
Okay, but it's in
Rancho Mirage, California. On December 2nd, I'll be at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix. That sounds like an easy thing to say. December 8th, I'll be at the Prosper Palace in Cuona. Cuona?
Prospera Palace. Wait, it's not even that. Prospera Place.
Prospera Place in Cuona.
That's English.
Right in Cuona?
I don't know. That's not English. Kelowna. I don't even know.
In British Columbia, it's a lot of rich Canadians. I've been there before. December 9th, the Save on Foods Memorial Center in British Victoria, Columbia.
That's a good one.
And I'll be in Boston at the Wilbur, where I recorded the special Bear, actually, on December 29th to the 31st. And you can get tickets for the tour at jimjefferies.com. And it says here, intro Forrest. I'm sure I do this every week. I've never listened to the podcast. Do I do that every week?
You say something like mean about me usually right now.
Forrest is fat.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all the emails.
Forrest, would you like to introduce our guest for this evening? We have a very unorthodox pod crew with us right now. All the writers.
Why are they unorthodox?
All our writers. Oh. It's the final episode of season one. So all the writers are upstairs drinking. And they can't hang out right now because they're all fucked up, right? So I've brought in two of my favorite people on the planet. And then they didn't work out and I brought in these two. Nicole Crystal. Now, Nicole Crystal is my assistant of sorts. I worked with her on Legit. She is my confidant. She is the one that whenever I get dumped, I cry to. She has a dog called Lola that's sitting on her lap, and I love you more than anything in the world.
Oh, I love you too, Jim.
Oh, I thought you meant Lola.
You know, I love the dog too.
Okay.
and the other person is Julia Papworth. Is that how you pronounce it? Papworth. Julia does my makeup and hair. She's for all you people who say that I've had a hair transplant and I'm bald. No, it's all the magic of Julia Papworth.
And she doesn't talk in the microphones a lot. You're going to have to pull it closer.
Now, she is... Julia did my makeup and hair on Legit.
I just did your hair. There's Karen.
Oh, there was another woman who did my makeup on Legit, but she did my hair.
On your specials,
right? She does my hair and makeup for the show. Plus, we'll be... And people don't know this. I'm going to announce it right now. You are... my favorite lesbian.
Wow. Is that like an insult or is that
No. I know several lesbians. Julia would be one of my favorite heterosexuals. You would be. You'd be right up there in my list of favorite.
But you did classify her as your favorite lesbian. So that makes you number one in that category.
Number one lesbian. I give you, I don't know what the rating would be. 4 licks? 5 licks? Anyway, so...
More than that, if you're talking about lesbians, come on.
Okay, now Nicole. Nicole is what we call a bisexual.
That's right.
You want to plug your webpage?
Yeah, I run a campaign called Still Bisexual. It aims to dispel the notion that bisexuals don't stay bisexual, that it's just a temporary thing that goes away.
Oh.
I did not know.
Yeah,
I always felt like girls that I've dated were bisexual for just one occasion, and then they weren't ever again.
That's what we're fighting, Jim.
Person you love the most in the world. Right.
So I'm the problem.
I think you're lucky. I think that's what that is.
All right, so don't forget to follow us on social media, Facebook, The Jim Jefferies Show, Instagram, and Twitter, Jefferies Show, spelled J-E-F-F-E-R-I-E-S, Show. The podcast email is jeffreyshowpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we got a few emails. You want to hear some of them?
Oh, I would love to hear one.
Okay. Here's a guy that, these are all people that really like you. Did we get emails ever? No. Okay.
The bad things mostly happen on Facebook. That's where people feel like they can comment the most.
This guy says, "Hey, Jim, I'm a college student who loves to code and watch your show."
All right. Well, I don't like him.
Hold on.
Who codes?
This guy. He's Indian. His name is Swapnil Sharma.
Oh, that makes sense.
Every week I wait for a YouTube video clip and a podcast. Interestingly, I wrote a program to fetch and download your podcasts, which date back to 2012. I learned a lot by you about you listening to them. I've become funnier after I started watching your stand-ups from Netflix. You taught me that rape is wrong, but you can always joke about it.
That is true. It is wrong, but you can joke about it.
And I'm not that...
As you can everything.
I don't know what that next line says. Okay, I know you're not coming to India anytime soon, and I don't wish... YouTube, because last time I did, Chester from Linkin Park died. I don't know, the sentence is wrong. I think he means don't come there because the guy from Linkin Park died last day coming to India. So I promise I'll work hard and one day I'll attend your live show. If you could shout out Swapnil, your name is stupid, or something like that, I would be grateful. Excuse my poor English.
All right, Swapnil, your name is stupid. That'll make a good message alert for when his girlfriend texts him or something like that.
He can
put that into his phone.
And then...
Although Swapnil's not the most stupid name I've ever heard.
What's the stupidest?
Forest.
Yeah, there we go. We're on par right now. So, this guy Grant wrote in last week, and he called me a lot of names, and he said some nice stuff about you, and then he apologized for calling me names. He wrote it to us again. But my favorite part of this is he kind of went through everybody that's been on the podcast and talked about them a little bit and tried to be nice. And since Jack's here today, he wrote something about Jack. He goes... the photos I saw of Jack depicted a fresh-faced boy blooming into a man's body. And I have no doubt with all of your maturing young men helping him to be more confident with women while tutoring him in the ways of the world, he'll go far. So this guy is really...
Jackson, really proud of you, Jackson.
This is a real email that we got.
We should stipulate at this moment that Jack is sitting in on the podcast, as he always does. Jack is actually here with his mother, which is going well. You know, how's the relationship going, Mum? You still like him?
I'm very proud of him.
Really proud. He can't get fucked. He tries all the time. He goes on so many dates.
Jesus.
And he can't get sex. Where have you gone wrong? What did you do in particular to stop your son being a sexual being?
I'm a tiger mum.
She's a tiger mum. That's normally reserved for Asian mums. So that's nice.
His dad is here, too. Not in the room, though. His dad somewhere.
No.
On a phone call.
The dad's somewhere being disappointed.
Okay. He also wrote in this email...
And Jack's brother's here. Is this your younger or older brother?
Younger.
Younger?
Is this the one?
Wow, look at that.
Yep.
Going to Stanford and you work for me.
Somewhat smarter than you, Jack. Come on.
So your brother's going to Stanford and you work on a comedy show that may or may not do well in the next year. All right, we've all had our thing.
Oh, here's Scott. There's an email that somebody wrote something about everybody from the show. I don't think this is true about you. He goes, he looked up photos of people on the internet, said one of the photos of Scott showed him giving himself a pedicure on an airplane. I don't think that's ever happened, right?
This is what you don't know about Scott. Scott is what you call a millionaire, not a multimillionaire like some people in the room. But he's a singular millionaire because what happened to Scott was he directed a Super Bowl commercial for Doritos because the Doritos have a competition.
Yep.
They send him in and Scott was the motherfucker winner and he had his kid on it. So he kept all the money in the family. He had his child as an actor. And now he just walks around with slip-on shoes like he's Lord fucking Muck.
Wait, so you were giving yourself a pedicure and that's like a still
you
from
put
that?
Yourself, I got to be honest with you because sometimes certain people on that work for us, they watch some of my older stand-up and they get angry about things I've said in the past. And I always think, you came to fucking work for me. Why haven't you researched me? I got to be honest with you, never seen your Doritos commercial.
You son of a bitch. No, that's not me in the commercial, but someone, one of the big newspapers wrote the article as if it was me. And so everyone was like, I didn't recognize, you look different in that, but no, it's not
was
me.
Was it a thin, handsome person?
Yeah, it was.
Must have been very distracting for your wife.
Didn't look like me at all.
Your wife's in the audience for all the people who question if Scott could have a wife. He does, and a lovely child, and one other child that's not so good.
Okay. All right, well, we won't say which is which.
All right, so let's talk about...
Yeah, that's enough for the email, so Nick.
Let's talk about things that happened in the show. We had a show today. The title sequences, the opening sequence of the credits, we always do something slightly different in every credits, little Easter eggs for people to see.
Yep.
I don't see it because I'm sitting behind the desk and the screen is behind me, so I never get to see what it is. Forrest, what are they?
I don't know. It's on a piece of paper here somewhere. I don't even know. Okay, there you go. Okay. North Korea Army marches next to the Rockettes during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. If you've seen the show, obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, we do kind of like a split screen where there's a picture and then it splits into another picture. So that's the first one. And then Ivanka Trump's disgusting seashell Thanksgiving centerpiece and trash. So she had like this Thanksgiving centerpiece that was in a giant clamshell just filled with stuff from a dollar store.
Is that true? Ivanka Trump had a clamshell thing? Since we're speaking about clamshells, what do you think about this, Julia? You have to talk.
Yeah, you got
to
talk into the microphone.
I'm going to work you into the conversation.
Did you think you were going to come on here and he was going to be nice to you or something?
He was so nice to me today during the show, so I knew something was...
Like he was saving
You invited me to Thanksgiving.
I did invite you to Thanksgiving.
I'm going to be hanging out with you and your father on Thanksgiving, two British people. That's how I like to celebrate Thanksgiving.
We'll drink, and you have to watch football, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that the name of your illegitimate child?
That's Ivanka Trump's centerpiece.
Ivanka Trump's is a clamshell filled with pumpkins.
And, like, wood and pine cones. Okay. And yeah, it's pretty to dope.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. You two have to butt in a lot more because I'll just keep talking. All right, so what happened was
Scott has a full glass of red wine.
It's the last episode. It's the last episode. We're all getting fucked up,
break.
Man.
We're on
spring break.
Go find a glass.
I'm drinking my LaCroix and then just like enjoying.
Do you want a line of Coke, Julia?
No, I'm good. Thanks so much. Yeah.
All right.
I gotta drive.
Okay. Well, they can never test you for that.
No, for which one?
There's no breathalyzer for cocaine.
No, there's like they can test you for Xanax and other pills.
Oh, God. Well, then I hope no cop pulls me up on the way home. Then.
They can do a piss test.
They take you in and they can take your blood.
They can do a piss test. Your mouth, too. Yeah. That's another thing.
Take a piece of your hair.
I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a quick story that you might not know about me. When I first moved to the UK...
That's right here.
Okay, so Julia just got a bit of wine. She's going to fucking lose her shit. Anyway, so when I first moved to the UK, I was a struggling comedian, as I still consider myself to be. And I took a job. And that job was, I think it was like the, maybe the 2004 European Cup was on. Whenever there's, get off your phone, Julia, it's irritating.
Sorry.
Whenever there was a 2004 European Cup was going on, and Budweiser always tries to get into the British market, although we have great European beers there. Budweiser always gives it a go for the European Cup and for the World Cup. And every bar you go in has got like Budweiser merchandise and that type of stuff. So I got a job as a rep for Budweiser. And this job was like, you just went in there and then you just had to fucking talk a bit and like sort of like show that you had a personality, and everyone else was like doing improv-y things, and I just did like a killer 5 minutes, which is all I had of stand-up. And I got the job. So they gave me a smart car that just said Budweiser all over it. And my job was to go around to the different bars and to just put Budweiser bunting, as they call it, like just this stuff all around the bar that said Budweiser, which I'm terrible at any level of design, but they gave me a chart, like a little book on how I was meant to do it. Anyway, I had that job for about a week, and then they rang me up and they said, it's time for your drug test. Now, this was the height of my ecstasy taking, right? They rang me up. I had ecstasy in my system, like, that day, you know. And so, I'd smoked weed and a few other things the week before. And you know what? I just thought, and I still had a full head of hair back then, and I just thought to myself, fuck it, I'll give it a go, right? And they took a strand of my hair out, and they tested it, and they found weeks of drugs in my system.
Oh, yeah, and your hair, though.
Yeah, because,
like...
That's why Britney Spears shaved her head. That's why she did it. That's why she did it. There was a moment, like, okay, allegedly did it.
Did you just come up with this theory?
No, that was the moment she was going through her divorce with the fucking, what's his name? Federline. And he was claiming she's taking drugs, she's a bad person. Blah, and we all thought she went crazy. And she was about to have like a parental fucking thing going on with the courts. And she just went, fuck it, I'll shave my head and you can all fuck off. No one can test me. Allegedly.
Yeah, well, here you go. So weed will stay in your system, in your urine, 70 to 30 days and up to 2 weeks in your blood. Cocaine, 3 to 4 days in your urine and 1 to 2 days in your blood. Codeine, 1 day in urine and 12 hours in your blood. Heroin, 3 to 4 days in your urine and up to 12 hours in your blood. So all the, like, really hard drugs are gone.
After, what is it, like 12 hours? After
A day or two, usually. 12 hours for the heroin, yeah. And then weed's in there for like a week to 30 days minimum.
Yeah.
When I went in
for the drug test, I had a CD case in that car that was dusted up, man. So there was no way. And I just remember going, all right, I'll give it a go.
They take you in and that you should try to stall as long as possible to get the blood test.
2 days?
Well, no.
Yeah, but if it's for your job, you can't stall for 2 days.
Yeah, if you get arrested and you're there and you're on holding.
Yeah.
All I can say is thank God that Comedy Central don't do the same testing. Am I right?
Okay.
Okay, so our first bit of the show was we talked about the tax plan at the moment. The House bill is trying to – they passed the tax reform bill, and the Senate has to vote on it soon. We made some fun about how Trump was always saying that he was going to make the middle class live better, but his new tax plan actually hurts the middle class and really helps the rich.
It's so weird that that would be, you know, you thought it was going to be the other way because he said
trickle
so.
Down economics.
Trickle down economics.
Be effective for the last 30 years.
Reaganomics or something. And then we talked about how there was the most amount of billionaires in all of the world is in America. Now, I actually want to defend America a little bit on this. Not that there's anything wrong with having a billionaire. It's like when we wrote that joke about the America has the most amount of billionaires. Well, it's the biggest first world country with the largest population. So. Whether we want to rate it like versus per capita,
Australia's
fucking crushing it with billionaires. We've got the Packers, we've got Rupert Murdoch and probably others, right?
Yeah. Two. You said crushing it, you named two.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch owns Rat Pack Productions with Brett Ratner, and I assume his career is going fucking gangbusters right now, and he has no problems with producing a movie.
Yeah. That's probably the first he's been mentioned together with him, too, so I'm sure he's happy about that.
Anyway, there's a long story. But anyway... So, you all know the story, but I can't tell it right now. I'll tell it in my next special. But I felt a little bit like we were sort of cheating the stats there a little bit. But, you know, for the joke, it sort of worked. We also took a...
Well, the one thing on that was, you know, that happens all the time in politics, was they tried to sneak the repeal Obamacare bill
in there,
too.
They tried to repeal Obamacare... At the same time that they were passing their tax reform.
Which is why it's
going
to fail. It's like they want it to fail.
Why is it going to fail, Nicole?
Because all those people who voted against ending Obamacare, all the Republicans like Collins and all those people are just going to say no to this just because of the Obamacare thing now.
Yeah, but I feel like, what, is it on the same bill? Like,
yeah, they put it on the tax reform. They stuck it in there.
So you're voting on the same thing at the same time. That's like if I voted, I said that joke and I didn't even really understand what I was saying.
I was just going to say you did a joke about it. But
wow, I'm just reading off that order cue, eh? Yeah, so that's like saying if you voted for, I don't know, Hillary, and at the same time you voted for guns in the same ballot, and it's the same tick means the same thing.
Yep.
They just
hide it deep in the bill.
And it gets called out all the time. But then people are like, "Here's the richest Australians, the billionaires. Do you know who Gina Rinehart is?
No.
Yeah. Doesn't say what she does. Oh, she is Australia's richest citizen, $16.6 billion.
Is she good looking?
That's her right there.
She's all right for 16. Yeah. 16.
Built her wealth is built on iron ore.
Iron ore what?
Okay, Harry Trigubov. You know that guy? He's number two.
No, I know him to look at him, but I don't quite know.
Developer Anthony Pratt.
Don't know Anthony.
He looks very Australian.
He's rocking it out, Anthony.
Corrugated
Pratt.
Cardboard.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
People are rich off like not, cardboard. Frank Lowy.
Oh yeah, good old Frankie.
He owns a bunch of malls.
Yeah. Oh, no, survivor. My brother actually works for him. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
okay,
actually,
there you go.
He actually is a...
Bianca Reinhart, there you go.
Don't know Bianca. What did she invent?
$5 billion.
What did she invent?
She has like, she's something, iron ore, cattle, tycoon, family trust.
She just buys shit.
Yeah.
Her.
Andrew Forrest.
Never heard of him.
We haven't even gotten to John Gant. I don't know any of these people. James Packer.
Yeah, James Packer, there he is.
He's a good looking
guy. Number eight, cha-ching.
He's got a big head.
He was engaged to Mariah Carey.
I know. He's not a...
And if you heard my Mariah Carey story at any stage, that's the guy who I played his 50th birthday.
There you go. That guy's the youngest one. Mike Cannon Brooks.
All right. Well, this is boring.
I know. I was trying to find someone good. I thought maybe you'd know these people.
So we also did a thing about Blake Shelton.
We didn't do a thing about Blake Shelton.
This wasn't the full piece, but in the middle of the piece about taxes, we talked about Blake Shelton. Yeah. And Blake Shelton has been named sexiest man alive. And look, I got to be honest with you. I know you can't see me, and I know my voice sounds ugly, but I'm better looking. I'm not better looking than many people. I consider myself to be extraordinarily ugly, but I'm better looking than Blake Shelton. Who the fuck at that fucking magazine named Blake Shelton the sexiest man in the world?
It's like the people editors are just getting older and older.
Let's be honest. Our weatherman should win every fucking year.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like
true.
He's won a bunch of years.
He's won twice. Oh. Our weatherman has won sexiest man of the year twice. But like there was a few of them. Now, like what happened before was they got the guy from Maroon 5, right?
He's Adam Levine.
He won it a few years ago, and then they just went through all the fucking hosts of The Voice and went, oh, give it to fucking Blake. That's a picture of me doing Lego with my child.
I just put in Jim Jeffries sexy, and it says, this is what sexy is, and it's just a picture of you with your shirt off putting Legos together with your kid.
Yeah, that shouldn't be on the internet.
Yeah, but, well, it's on Twitter. Yeah, it's on the internet. It's a, you put it on there.
Yeah. Okay, show it to the ladies. Tell me that's not sexy. Look, I'm being a good...
Aww.
I'm being a good father.
Not Hank. No, don't look at him. Look at that. Look at that.
I'm but putting together Legos.
Don't be blinded. Yeah.
You blend into the wall behind you.
Yeah, you look like a neon light.
That's like, why when Trump builds the wall, he should make it like the not the color of the people who are trying to cross over so they can't blend in. He should make the wall like a fluorescent yellow.
Yeah. You really got racism into that pretty quick.
That wasn't racist. How was that racist?
I don't know.
You eat a dick. Anyway, so Blake Shelton, not the sexiest man alive. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying I'm sexier than the sexiest man alive.
Am I sexier than Blake Shelton?
You're on par.
Okay. I have gout, maybe. So, you know.
Yeah, Blake Shelton has gout. We researched that. I heard it. I heard it somewhere in my subconscious in some interview that he had gout. And I was in the writer's room and I went, this cunt has gout. And then the researchers checked into it. No, it's not a kind
you
of arthritis at all. It's what it is. It's the joints, the cartilage in your joints crystallized from rich foods, from drinking too much beer. I have a little bit of it, I think, in my ankle. My ankle pops in and out every now and again, right? But like they call it a king's disease because kings used to just eat lard and then now I'm going to drink some mead and it was a rich man's fucking disease. Right? And so they would get all gouty, right? So it was like the king's disease. And it was one of those things that we've never cured. And it's normally like drunks and fucking cunts who are eating lasagna every day get gout. Oh. So like if you ever meet like a drunk Italian, call him Gouty Giuseppe. Anyway.
But you were right, though. It's a form of arthritis. But it's brought on by like...
But it's grosser.
I just want to let you know you were right. Yeah.
Is Gouty Giuseppe, was that racist?
No, I think that's cute.
That's all right. Gouty
Giuseppe. Like a video game in that game.
Hey, I got to the gout. He says that. That's his catchphrase.
Yeah, he jumps around. He tries to eat like better foods.
He goes,
and exercise.
My ankles are no good.
Yeah.
It's Gouty Giuseppe.
It's elevated levels of uric acid in the blood. There you go.
It's not good, and it's meant to hurt like fuck, but it goes away, and then it comes back, and it's like people... I think I have a little bit of it in my ankle, because I got an ankle that fucks up whenever I drink.
Well, the thing is you can be susceptible to it, but what can trigger it is a diet high in meat or beer.
Yeah, that's me all over.
Yeah.
I'm a meat beer guy. Well, I know several British comedians who are gouting the fuck up, man. I know loads of them. John Fothergill, if you're listening, I miss you, buddy, but you had the gout.
Is it genetic? Can you catch gout from...
Yeah. You can be predisposed to it.
But if you think of like what the diet is in that part of the world, I mean, it's like lots of red meat and wine and beer. So.
It's a combination of diet and genetic factors. So
yeah, you can't catch it. If you make out with Blake Shelton, you won't get the gout.
But
you will lose my respect.
to prevent it, to prevent gout, it says weight loss, vitamin C, not drinking alcohol. So there you go.
Yeah. So Paul Ryan was struggling with Obamacare repeal. What else we got? The Paradise Papers. Oh, it's leaked that a lot of rich people already put their money in places like Bermuda and the Seychelles and what have you.
There was a firm in Bermuda called Applebee's.
Applebee's gets all the rich people's money and they put it in islands.
Terrible appetizers.
They put it over in islands to protect the money.
But all of the documents were in this one firm in Bermuda.
That's right.
Bermuda.
There's a joke that didn't get a laugh that I just worked in that no one notices because I had
the Kokomo thing went over people's heads. Are we too old?
I said there's money in Bermuda, the Seychelles, Kokomo. Now I think that people don't know that Kokomo is not a real place. It's
a place in Indiana. There's a city called Kokomo. I did comedy there one time.
Yeah, but it's not where the Beach Boys were talking about Bermuda, Jamaica. Yeah.
Don't say anything on this podcast. You can't say anything.
But I Googled
it. You can't say anything.
Fiji. No? Am I totally wrong? Is that created after the song?
No, I believe there's no Kokomo. Is there a Kokomo?
I'm looking it up. There's a Kokomo, Indiana, where I performed at.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
And then there's a Kokomo, Arkansas, Colorado. Yeah.
Maybe it's a mindset.
That's the whole idea of the songs. John Stamos is at the back there playing the fucking bongo drums like a motherfucker, singing about Kokomo. And anyway, so I worked into the routine. I said the Seychelles, Bermuda, and Kokomo. And I just slipped it in. Kokomo isn't actually a place where people put their monies to dodge tax. That was completely made up on my part. And it wasn't actually in the script. I just said it and it got zero laughs. Because me and Nicole, what happens with me and Nicole is, the people upstairs, they help write the script. I go up there and help them write the script. And then we go downstairs and they feed us jokes. And Nicole puts, we have two TVs in my office and we have one TV that might be playing like a baseball game. And the other TV, we will be practicing what I like to call reading. And so what happens is Nicole feeds, and while I cut the hair in the morning, so Julia cuts my hair and Nicole puts on the TV screen the script for the day and it feeds through. And what was my point of this?
Kokomo jokes, putting
so
jokes in the script.
Sometimes we come up with other things. Yeah. Sometimes
I look at Nicole and I don't tell the script writers, I go, I'm going to put in Kokomo.
It's going to kill.
Yeah, yeah. And Nicole looks at me and goes, that's a good one, Jim. Yeah. And I go, thanks, Nicole. And then I just work in Kokomo, and so it just didn't work.
There's a place called Sandals K, formerly called Kokomo Island. However, the original name for the island came from the song Kokomo.
Ah.
Yeah, so they named it Kokomo. And the inspiration for the song was a poolside bar in Isle Mirada in the Florida Keys.
There was another little ad lib in today's script when we talked about whenever you say, maybe your grandmother doesn't have dementia, and she's right, because, you know, she's always saying the government's trying to take my money. And then the joke just went, okay, you're right, Nana. The government is trying to take your money. But no, Jackie Robinson wasn't your lover. And then I added a little bit on the end that implied that grandmother was also yelling the N-word. That wasn't in the script either, but that made it through, didn't it, Scotty?
Sure did.
Just a little ad-lib. I try to get those things past
people
the writers.
People like that one, though.
I try to get those things past the writers because the writers are what you call good people. And so sometimes when I pitch a more offensive joke, they get offended.
People can't see you doing air quotes on the podcast.
Yeah, but I'm doing this for you, you fucking knob jockey.
For me? Everyone, he was doing air quotes.
For you, you knob jockey.
All right, so that was it, right? That was the whole show?
That's what happened. The beautiful thing now, what happened was for Act 2 and Act 3, we had a field piece that we recorded months ago. You might notice I'm a little thinner. My skin's a lot better. Now, what happened was we filmed a piece. Now, the backstory to this is Rob O'Neill. Rob O'Neill is a member of SEAL Team 6, which is, okay, I got to stop right there. SEAL Team 6 seems to do fucking everything. They rescued the lone survivor. They rescued Captain Phillips. They killed Bin Laden. What are the other five SEAL teams doing? Because it feels like they're fucking up to nothing, and then SEAL Team 6 has to come in. Are they morons? Are they like the 007? What is 001 to 6 fucking doing? Because they're doing nothing either. So SEAL Team 6 is the jam, right? And so what happened was SEAL Team 6, Rob O'Neill, a friend of mine, a genuine friend of mine, he killed Bin Laden. Now, what happened, the way I met Rob O'Neill was this, and this is how he got into the show. I have a friend called Barry Holmes, who's a very extraordinarily good photographer, photographed every band and every other thing in between, actors and whatnot. He once did photos for me back in the UK. He's since moved out to LA and become and still a professional photographer. This guy was a professional photographer before the days of digital, when you actually had to know how to fucking do photos. You didn't just have a digital camera. Because every cunt I meet now is a photographer, but this guy was the real deal. And so what happened was, after Rob O'Neill shot Bin Laden, and it was a secret for a very long time, Barry shot photos of Rob. And then Rob was feeling a little bit awkward because he's, you know, a Navy SEAL. He's not used to being posing in front of cameras, something I don't enjoy either. And Barry was trying to make Rob feel relaxed. And so he's playing music and stuff like that. And he goes, well, what's your favorite this? What's your favorite that? And he goes, who's your favorite comedian? And Rob O'Neill went, Jim Jefferies. And then Barry said, I'm friends with Jim Jefferies. And then he said to Rob, he goes, would you like to meet him? And Rob was like, yeah. Okay, now, Rob, if you're listening to the podcast, this is what really happened. So I get a phone call from my friend Barry. And Barry rings me up and goes, the guy who shot Bin Laden wants to meet you. And then he goes, when can he meet you? And I said, because I didn't want to do it one-on-one. I thought it'd be awkward. And I said, oh, I'm having a party at my house on Saturday. I wasn't having a party. There was no party organized. There was no barbecue. There was nothing.
This was a while ago. How long ago?
Oh, this is about two years ago. So I rang up you, Forrest. You were involved in that?
Yep, I was there. I went there. Told me we weren't allowed that we would be there, and there'd be a lot of people there, and Rob would be there, but we were not allowed to bring up the fact that he killed Bin Laden. We were supposed to just hang out there and pretend like we didn't know.
So I rang up Rhys Darby, who was on an episode recently. You know him from Murray and Flight of the Conchords and several movies in the new Jumanji film. And so Rhys Darby, one of my best mates.
On the show, too.
Yeah, he was on the show. Rhys, Whitehead was there, a few of the writers who are on the show now. All me mates, I rang them all up. And I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm having a barbecue on Saturday. And I didn't want to tell him anything because this was still the time that Rob wasn't telling the world that he'd shot Bin Laden. And so what happened was, about a group of like 20 or maybe 30 of my friends showed up. And I asked for them to come an hour earlier than I asked for Rob to come, right? And I was getting all fanboy. It's the guy who shot Bin Laden, right? And so they all show up, and I gather all my friends around. I said, look, here's the deal. This was a party that I organized 2 days ago, as you all know. The guy who shot Bin Laden is about to show up, right? I'm not meant to tell you that the guy who shot Bin Laden is showing up, but just know that the guy who shot Bin Laden is going to fucking be here today. And they're all like, all right, good, 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 good. So these three Navy SEALs, three members of SEAL Team 6 show up, these big fucking buff men's man, you know, like these real fucking awesome human beings just show up at my house. And two of them have attractive girlfriends, but then one of them shows up with one of the most stunning girls I've ever seen and is a ginger. And I thought, that's probably the guy who shot Bin Laden.
And it was.
And he's married to her now. And hello, Jessica. Anyway, so I went, fuck, that's the guy who shot Bin Laden. So he's standing around my house, and I walk up to Rob, and he's like, hey, pleasure to meet you, man. My name's Rob O'Neill. I'm from Butte, Montana. He always gives these little fucking resume. And I said, hey, Rob, I haven't told anyone else at the party what you've done. but I want you to know that I know what you've done, and look, I'm just in such awe, and thank you so much for coming to my house. And he goes, what have I done? And I said, well, I know, but I haven't told anyone. And I'm not going to tell anyone, but thank you for your service. And he goes, what? And he said really loudly, what, the fact that I shot Bin Laden?
We all heard it, too. We're like, oh, it's on. We can talk about it.
And then everyone was like, oh, he's going to talk about it. And then he talked for about about 3 hours about
the whole...
He took
a question and answer session?
Yeah, everyone sat around. I kept drinking. I got a little bit drunk, and in the end, I walked out, and he was telling stories. And there was a bit that was actually in this film piece that we haven't put in. And he goes, I walked up the stairs, and he was being protected by his wife, and then he held her like a human shield, and he threw her to one side. And then he goes, and then I shot her in the face, and he goes, I wish I said something cool. And then someone went, what did you say? One of the girls in the room went, what did you say? And he goes, I didn't say anything, but I wish I would have said Yahtzee. And I'm like, Yahtzee? And I'm like playing cornhole in the corner, like drunk in the corner. I mean, Yahtzee? That's a fucking stupid thing to say. And everyone turned to me like, oh, shut up, Jim, you belligerent drunk bastard. And I'm like, and he goes, oh, yeah, big guy, what would have you said? And I said, I would have said, where have you been, Laden? Now, if you can think of a better closing line before you shoot Bin Laden in the face after us searching for him for fucking years, then where have you been, Laden?
That's a good one.
That's killer. Yeah. That's killer. Anyway, so Rob does motivational speeches, and if you've been to any of Rob's motivational talks that he does for companies, he lies and says that's what he said, but I said it.
Really?
I want everybody to know that I beat him at cornhole twice, too.
You did beat him at cornhole. Now, what happened?
Not good with a beanbag into a hole.
Or with a watermelon.
What happened in the field piece?
But I want to tell you something real quick. The SEAL Team 6, since you asked. There's all these different SEAL teams. I'll probably butcher this mostly, but the SEAL Team 6 is commonly known as DevGru or SEAL Team 6.
And the other ones, number two is known as the Peshmo.
Well, each different group, the SEAL teams, are specialized for certain things. So this one is like,
number three is good at croquet.
They're good at cornhole. they're like a counterterrorism unit, and they're targeting high-value targets. And basically, they were created after Operation Eagle Claw during the Iran hostage crisis in 1979. So they go off that's why he goes, there's all these high profile missions that he's gone on, because this is a unit that is taxed to do that. So there's a lot of different SEAL groups, but yeah, that's why you hear about SEAL Team 6
a
lot.
How many people are in these SEAL groups?
It's like 18 guys. It's not a big.
Yeah, it says, I'll have to find that for you. This is Wikipedia.
But I want to say something nice about Rob. He has been nothing but nice to me and my family, and he was so gracious to come on the show. You can poke fun at him. And look, he's a Republican.
You sounded like you said you can poke fun at him. Like that was
no,
like the thing.
No, you know, you can poke fun at him. He has a good sense of humor around himself.
My bad. Yeah.
He's a Republican. He's pro-gun. He's pro-hunting. He's everything that I'm kind of not. And it just sort of goes to show that we all have common ground in this world, that we can all sort of have a laugh. And I appreciate that what he's done for this country, and if not for the world. And I just like hanging out with the guy, and it's not a false friendship. It was built on a stupid little party that happened, but now me and him text, and he's a super sweet fucking badass fucking motherfucker, man. That guy, like, there's one bit in the segment where I go, who shouldn't have guns? And he actually says in the interview, he goes, anyone with a history of violence. Now, I know his history of violence was controlled, but he's killed about 200 people. Yeah. So there's an argument that he shouldn't have it, even though he did it for the right reasons. But I'm a big fan of the guy, not only for what he's done for the country, but also the man that he is. So we talked to him. We talked about all the different weapons and shotguns, and then we went out and actually shot. And I got to tell you, were you there, Julia, for that?
I was there.
Julia did my hair. Did you do his as well?
You had your hair done when you were shooting guns.
I didn't
think about it, but I guess so.
I think Kate was there. Kate was there.
My ex?
Nope.
Kate who?
My friend Kate, who did some makeup for.
But you weren't there.
I was there.
Oh, you did me, and Kate did Rob, yeah. And it was a fun day. Where was Scott? Where was the shooting range that we went out to?
Like Sun Valley.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like in the valley. It was like out near like Six Flags or something.
No, it was like Sunland. Wasn't it like Sunland? Yeah.
And so we went out there and we shot a whole heap of guns, and it was just so fucking cool, man. And we just like there's one thing to shoot guns and go to Vegas and get all fucking fucked up and go to a shooting range and shoot things. But to have an actual guy that's like, this is the gun we used on the Obama mission, on the Obama fucking. I just said that. Bin Laden. Can we edit that out, please?
No, I'll keep that in there.
Oh, crikey. Yeah. Anyway, so we went and shot all these guns and targets and stuff like that. And I was shooting with the best shooter in the world. But what happened at the end of the sketch? Now, I hate to do this to Rob. I really hate to do this because I said I wouldn't do it. But fuck, I'm so proud of myself. We wanted to close out the whole thing. And this was Scott's idea. we wanted to put two watermelons. We had a sniper rifle each that could shoot 2 kilometers away. And now we were only shooting maybe 100 meters. It wasn't far. It was very close. And all we had to do was shoot this watermelon, and the end of the whole piece was going to be these two watermelons exploding. And I remember being really nervous because I got told the kickback on this gun is so hard that it could break my collarbone. So I was shitting myself as I was doing it, and he's like telling me it's going to be fine or whatever. And so I looked in the sight, and the sight was so exact that all I could see was green. Everything else was desert, and I just put it on the watermelon. All I could see was green. And then I just pressed the trigger, and my watermelon explodes. And his watermelon just sat there doing nothing. And my first response, and maybe we edited it a bit differently, the first response is I looked at him and went, why didn't you shoot? And he looked at me so sheepishly and he went, I did shoot. Now, in Rob's defense, he was never a sniper, right? Thank fuck, right? Because Rob missed his watermelon. And then we gave him another go to end the fucking footage out. And then I said, oh, he goes, maybe the sight's all fucked up. And then he had, what, 4 more goes?
He took your gun.
He took my gun because I hit it the first. He had 4 more. He had maybe 6 or 7 shots, at least 6. Maybe 7.
And do you think
7.
You would hit it if you shot again, or you just get so super?
No,
lucky?
I really think I could. I was saying to Scott. I was so cocky by then. I was saying to Scott, "Let me blow up the other watermelon and say it was him." Right, and then Scott goes, just walk away a hero.
Yeah, don't do that.
don't have another go. I was of the opinion that I could shoot any watermelon from any distance at any time.
Yeah, but that gun that he said they use on their missions when he was shooting it, just the way he was moving and shooting stuff, like clearly that's the gun he uses.
Let's be fair here.
Okay. You just said all this nice stuff about it. I told him I wasn't going to say this.
Let's be fair. If you needed to save the world, you'd still use him before me. Right, just because I shot one fucking watermelon,
I would definitely call him Petty.
Even if I had a gun and he was just doing it with his hands.
If you had a gun and he had a twig branch, I would still.
But then the thing was, afterwards he was like shocked. Now he has been out of the Navy SEALs for a very long time. He hasn't even fired a gun for a long time, and he came up to me and he said, "Jim, we can say we did this as a comedy bit, right?" And I said, "Whatever you need to sleep, Robbie. Whatever you need to sleep."
So he was just rusty.
It doesn't matter, he killed a bunch of people. This is the whole thing.
After that, it's like
his whole thing was never being a sniper. When you saw him with all the other handguns, he fucking kicked my ass. His thing was being SEAL Team 6 and bursting into rooms and shooting
everybody. Yeah,
you're
like close range then.
But he was never sitting in a fucking mountain fucking pinning people off. That wasn't his gig.
Maybe you should have been a sniper.
I feel like...
What's the guy's name? Am I forgetting his name?
American Sniper. His name's American Sniper. His first name's Bradley Cooper. That guy died at a shooting range.
Because another guy shot him.
That's how you die at a shooting range.
He was like taking out like veterans that had PTSD and trying to do this whole thing. Yeah. I don't remember.
Anyway, so what happened at the end of the thing? We sort of talked about... America's love of guns. I know that everyone sees me as the anti-gun guy. I don't particularly look at myself the same way.
I know you're worried that the internet now is going to...
They're going to get into me again. It's like I was saying the other day, Scott was talking to me and said, you must love having your own show. And the answer is I enjoy doing the show. It's such a privilege to be able to give opinions on a weekly basis and just have your voice heard in any way. But to be honest with you, doing a sitcom was a lot more fun because there's female cast members who are flirting with me. I got to do stupid stunts and shit. And now this job is just me feeling like I'm doing something good or saying something poignant and then people telling me I'm a bag of shit all day. And so that's the job that I have now. And so, as I'm saying this, someone's typing right now. Yeah, but there's no pretty girls.
Jesus Christ.
It was disturbing for me to even see you with a gun after all the antics. I don't know. It was just strange really when we watched the field piece in here, and I didn't think I'd feel that way. But
you felt weird seeing me shoot a gun?
Yeah, it kind of bothered me a little. I didn't expect it to. Even though I've been shooting, and that's hypocritical of me. But
where are you from again? You're from
the Bay Area.
Oh, well, San Francisco. You can shoot. You can't shoot things up there, can you?
No, right across the bridge. After my mom died, someone took me shooting, and it was really cathartic, and I had a really good
right time. After your mom died, someone took you shooting?
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that.
I was
like,
angry.
Straight out of the funeral, you went and shot someone?
No, it was a couple of weeks later, but the worst part of it is some of the bullets with the pistols will come out, and they'll burn your hand.
Yeah, they shoot out.
That part was not good.
Maybe
Maybe I should try it, get out some of my anger. Look at you. Oh, like, anyone who can say this, maybe I should try it, get out of my, some of my anger. You have no anger.
Women are allowed to have
anger. Do you have anger for? Oh, you know, I know why you have anger. You've been dating women. It's infuriating, isn't it?
Aww.
It's the fucking worst, am I right? I've been doing it for years. Oh, my God. If only I could date men, my stress would go away. I'm back, people. I'm back.
They should have that, like a gun therapy. I just looked it up. I don't see anything. I mean, I'm sure there might be something, but
you
like,
have to go with someone like where you doing though.
I know, but you
gun will jam, and you like, I don't know.
Sure, but yeah. So there's a service where you go to a, like a range, and then you talk about a few of your problems, and they print something up that you can shoot at that you know represents those problems. Face. Yeah. Well, not. I mean,
well, we actually.
I was
shot,
thinking more words and shot, stuff like that, but like, yeah, you could like, do a face. Yeah, yeah.
Like we thought of all the, of all the things we could shoot. We decided on that he would shoot a zombie Bin Laden, and I would shoot the Second Amendment. And so the irony of shooting the Second Amendment is, would upset some people, and hopefully it did. And I'm looking forward to the hate mail. So what happened was we finished that. We talked about guns a little bit, and then to close out the show. We had a sketch written that had a celebrity in it. That celebrity dropped out. So we wrote a sketch a few days earlier that I actually really liked. It was the story of Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving, I've always argued, is a holiday that I don't particularly get because it just involves a meal. And Americans seem to lose their fucking shit over it, but doesn't seem to have any songs. And so I've never really understood Thanksgiving. So we did a little history of Thanksgiving, and I read it from a book. Allegedly, but the book was just a whole, it was like an old ledger of someone's tax returns. So I was acting like I was reading, but obviously.
Oh, is that what was in there?
Yeah, yeah. It was just fucking lists of numbers. So anyway, for we used a green screen and behind it, it looked like I was in a castle. I wish we had like more of a home with a fire. I didn't like the castle, but anyway, that's what it was. And there was a castle with a fireplace and I was sitting in a big chair and, I just asked the day before, I said, can I have a semi-automatic rifle just sitting next to me on the chair? Now, obviously, the rifle I had was made out of wood and rubber. And I sat down in the chair and the show was going great. And then they were prepping the scene. I picked up the gun and acted like I was going to shoot them all. And the audience never really forgave me.
You say that, but I feel like it was okay. But it's people don't like guns being pointed at them, whether they're like fake or not. You were doing it yesterday in the read-through, too,
yeah,
and made people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
People don't like it.
It was made of rubber.
But they look so
I know,
real.
But it doesn't matter. Like, when I first walked in, I thought those guns were real.
We just lost someone who was sitting watching the podcast. That's how offended people have gotten. So we did that, the history of Thanksgiving, and we also did the whole thing. Like, and may I say, before people start writing in and saying, well, fuck you, Australia, blah, blah, blah. Now, Australia has a day called Australia Day, which is closer to maybe our 4th of July than Thanksgiving. But it was the day that, I think it's the 26th of January. What happened was, it's the day that commemorates when all the white settlers came into Australia. So many Aboriginals in Australia call that Invasion Day. So we have similar political problems going on in Australia as you do. And so I'm not trying to say that I'm higher or more mighty than you by pointing out that Thanksgiving was one meal and then you killed a lot of Indians afterwards. Native Americans afterwards, right? But I thought it was a fun little piece just to sort of poke fun at what Thanksgiving may represent for a small population in this country.
Yeah, when I was in Australia with you in Sydney, I went to the Royal Botanical Gardens in Sydney.
The Royal. Did you call it Broil?
Royal.
Oh, the, okay.
It sounded like Broil.
You went, there couldn't be a word that's close to the Broil.
All royal. Right, I'm not perfect, all right?
The royal, we're part of a monarchy. It was the royal, yes.
And so, like, it's really pretty. It's right there. It's right near the opera house, right on the water. It's really nice, the garden stuff. And then in the middle of it, they had, like, this illustrated display of how all the Aboriginals were killed.
Oh,
so it's kind of the same thing. I was thinking of it today when you read that. I was like, Thanksgiving, yeah. But then you, like, look back at the history, and you're like, yeah.
No, right. No, I completely understand why Aboriginal people wouldn't like Australia Day, and I completely understand.
Yeah.
I almost find Thanksgiving slightly more offensive in the sense that it's all about, we had a lovely meal. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole idea. Like, even as an outsider, because I always knew that Thanksgiving was when the pilgrims and the Indians had a meal together and they all got along. And it's like, when did you give them the fucking blankets, America?
Yeah.
When did you give them the blankets? right? Yeah. So I understand why it's upsetting for some people, but I also understand why people like it. And what a nice holiday. Like, nowhere else in the world is there a holiday where people actually just look each other in the eye and say what they're thankful for. And I commend you, America, for that. What a beautiful fucking idea.
It's not religious. That's what I like
no,
about
it. No, it's not
it.
Religious. Like, yeah. What a beautiful idea that yeah. people go around a table and say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. Because so often in this world, we're always talking about how our lives are shit and how lives could be better. And it is good to take time and to pause and to think about what you are thankful for. But also, just remember you kill a lot of Indians.
Football.
Football.
I don't get the football reference. It's like football's playing all the fucking
time. No. Because, no. The NFL is always, for the most part, all the games are played on Sunday. There's one game on Monday. They just recently started playing Thursday night football. Games like 6 years ago. So up until recently, there was no games on Thursday, but at one point they decided that the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions were going to play every Thanksgiving Thursday. Now they've added a third game because they just figured, hey, we can throw another game in here. And it's like just part of, like, you go any house you go into in Thanksgiving, there's football, and it just becomes
fantastic.
Like an... I like it.
But it means
it's kind of like it's kind of like a ritualistic thing where you're just like, yeah, football.
My fantasy lineup way early.
Yeah, I find Thanksgiving...
Play fantasy football?
Oh.
Okay, this is the most you've talked, the podcast.
So when you say fantasy football, is that just a lot of women playing football against each other?
That's your fantasy football.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I've played for like 10 years.
Have you ever won?
Have you won any money?
Yeah, I've won.
How much have you won?
When did I win the league? Like a few years back. It's not much. It's like one league, it's like $50 a person.
I'll tell you what happens, right, with these football pools and all that type of stuff. What happens is, and this happens like on the show and
people
all that type of stuff.
People lose money.
No, Forrest had a gambling addiction, by the way, in case you didn't hear him salivating right then as he talked
really?
About it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, other
do you
want to
edit that out?
No, that's fine. I just had a podcast about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
He's all right now.
When was this?
He's just,
I really
was
this. Like gambling.
Just food is his problem.
I stopped last week, so we're okay. Yeah.
You're fine.
No, bless him. He we play a lot of casinos together, and I love playing blackjack. And I play like $100 a hand, and not because I want to play $100 a hand, but I play $100 a hand because that gets you into the high rollers room. So after I finish a gig, I won't be bothered too much because if you just sit on the $10 table,
everyone's
people are bothering. And Forrest sits next to me as I gamble, and he just sort of...
A drink.
He drinks, wow. And I get him drinks and everything, but we... He doesn't condemn me or anything, and I don't.
You always ask me like, do I have a gambling problem? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's up for you to decide.
I don't lose that much, though, do I?
No, I mean, you're betting way within your means, first of all, as far as money, and you're not like, it's not like 7 hours later, like we gotta win it back. You're just like, all right. I mean, you get mad as anyone else would if you lose money, but you're not like chasing money and this stuff like that.
It's just entertainment.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I get free drinks if I'm sitting with you and you're gambling. So I'm like, all right.
Where was I headed with this? I had something to say.
I don't know. She was talking about fantasy football. Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So fantasy football, office pools and everything, right? This is the thing. I don't know about TV just yet. Like, allegedly, right, so this is the end of season one. Nicole, I was meant to get you a gift.
You did. It arrived yesterday.
Yeah, but that was your gift that I got you for your birthday.
What'd you get?
I bought her a sofa for her birthday.
You got me a freaking killer sofa.
She turned... But I bought that for you as your friend, not as your boss. Oh, and today I was meant to get you a gift
You don't have to get me another gift. That's nuts.
What about Jack? Did Jack get a gift?
He did because, and I'll be honest with you,
got a gift?
I'll be honest with you, Jack. I'll tell you what happened. And Scott shaking his head. I didn't know the protocol, Jack. I didn't know the protocol. So Scott, because Jack is also Scott and I's assistant. And Scott actually contacted me. He said, did you get something for Jack? And I said, I didn't. He goes, you can go on my gift as well. You got him an Apple TV.
Oh,
so you're welcome. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, you haven't given it to him yet?
I gave it to him.
All right, so you should really thank Scott for that. I'm an ignorant piece of shit. But this is...
Of course you get him a gift. Why would you not?
Why would I?
I feel like you didn't know.
Struggling.
That, Jack.
If Jack's birthday comes around, I give lavish fucking gifts. If Jack,
when's your birthday?
If Jack gets laid, I'm gonna fucking organize a parade. But thankfully, I'll always save that money, right? My point is, I didn't know Jack. I didn't know, and I'm sorry, I'm rude, but I do treat you well. I'm nice to you, right?
Great.
Did you get my tire?
Did you get his tire fixed? He said that's right after that.
I need.
What about his tire?
I need my tire fixed. I got a nail in my tire, and Jack's organizing that. But anyway, so I was meant to get Nicole a gift. I didn't really get Nicole a gift. Anyway, so but these things I don't understand about being the host of a show or a lead of a sitcom or something like that, that you're meant to, whenever you have success, you're meant to give it to the rest of the crew, right? So what happened was when we were on the set of Legit, we had a football pool. We had a football pool that went on for fucking weeks and everyone had to put $20 in. Everyone had to put fucking $20 in. Yeah, I played, and I knew I never watched a football game in my life.
It was just pick winners. It was like
you just pick winners. You just pick. Everyone had to put 20 fucking bucks in,
and you won because you didn't think about it. You didn't know about anything.
I just ticked random boxes. I won the whole fucking thing. Like week fucking 18 or something. I win the whole thing. The pool is like $800, and then everyone comes up to me and they go, "You have to divvy that amongst the crew."
No, we said you have to tip out the PAs. I remember.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. No one else had to do anything. Why? Because I'm a celebrity. I got to give them my money. That's gambling. Fuck you. No, that's gambling. I won fair and square. I won, and then everyone treated me like I was a bag of shit for fucking days. No. I am a generous human being. If you go out drinking with me, you don't pay for a fucking drink. If you have a meal with me, you don't pay for your fucking meal. But fuck me. If I win a bet, I keep that fucking money. I did that without fucking knowing anything about football.
I was so pissed because I'm such a football fan. He beat me.
There was other people. Other people won it each week and were walking around with their wads of money. They were all walking around with their wads of money. I'm a winner. I win out of the fucking blue. And everyone's like, "Oh, Jim, you have to buy everyone a gift." Fuck you.
I agree with you. The gambling thing, yeah, you don't have to do it then. No, that doesn't make any sense.
No, I understand.
That just seems like something they made up on the spot. Like,
but also, this is the thing about having your own sitcom or your own TV show or whatever that people don't fucking realize, right? When I get fired from this job or I get fired from Legit, that was the end of me doing sitcoms. When I get fired from this job, this would be the end of me hosting TV shows. And you know what? You're still going to be doing hair for other fucking cunts after I fucking leave. That's my career over. I got to square all this fucking gambling money away. Yeah. I don't have as long a career as you do.
I have a future.
You have a future. I've got nothing. All I've got is an extremely rich present.
What?
I think you're in trouble, though, if Legit is teaching you, like, television present-giving rules.
Yeah, we're all over the place on that show.
No, like, I've been on other shows, and it's all of the writers would have to buy all the assistants things, and it wasn't just on the star of the show.
I don't get it. Yeah, the star of the show. We gave everyone, what did you get this year? Because for the first 10 episodes, everyone got a Jim Jefferies hoodie.
Yep.
Which, incidentally, a couple of the people who work at my child's school want hoodies. And Jack, can you get some hoodies?
I wear mine to the gym every day.
Is there any extra hoodies just so I can give the school teachers at the school?
He doesn't have to get them right now.
No. I'll tell you a funny story.
Do you know what John Oliver got as assistant?
What did he get him?
I don't know. I was going to say something bigger.
No, I'll tell you something funny that my son did the other day. My son was in school, and my son's what you call a picky eater. And me and my ex, we fight over this all the time because I'm always trying to put other foods on him, and she says it's all fine and whatever. It's a five-year-old, so what are you going to do? But anyway, so at school, he eats like six things. So at school, they try to give him different food all the time. And they had a day the other day where they served the children Chinese food. And my son threw a tantrum and started jumping up and down, yelling the words, "I don't like Chinese."
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So I knew there was a little bit of Australian in him. Oh, I thought that story was funny.
And then you said that the other day. You told me that story, and he was there. And then you said, "Right? You don't like?" He goes, "I don't like Chinese." He said again. I was like, "Yeah, I shouldn't be saying that."
Well, it was one time I went to the baseball with him and his friend TJ, and the nicest little boys you can imagine. And the two of them, they just love each other, and like they're at that age where they're holding hands.
That's cute.
You know, they're two 4-year-old boys holding hands like that. And we walked past, we're at Dodgers Stadium, we walked past, there was a Formula One car that was covered in Dodgers painting. And next it was two promotional girls, very attractive girls. And as soon as they saw these two little boys walk by holding hands. They went, "Aren't you a couple of cuties? Look at you two cuties." And then one of them just went, "Would you like a photo?" And then Hank just, I was like, "You guys want a photo?" And Hank just waved the girls away like, "We don't like girls." I was like, that'll change, hopefully. Who knows? Or not. Anyway, so that was our show. If you enjoy the podcast, please tell your friends. If you don't enjoy the podcast, why don't you keep it to yourself? No one likes a grass. Try to be a fucking reasonable human being that's not rude to others.
They got to subscribe. And
to my guests, what?
Subscribe to the podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Are we going to do more of these before we come back?
We may do one, but probably we won't have another podcast for a long time because the chance of getting the old team back together. The problem isn't me and you, Forrest, because we don't have the equipment.
No, we do.
We
have portable equipment now.
All right, here's what we're going to do, people. Listen to me right now. Me and Forrest are touring Europe.
January. And Israel.
Maybe 14 cities across Europe over Israel. The course of 3 weeks. And we're going to be touring Europe. And then we'll have a bit of downtime. Scott's coming out. We're going to do some field pieces.
Andrew will be there.
Andrew Onecock, you know him. He's going to be out drinking different types of semen. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be out there. We might record some different podcasts while we're on Europe.
Yeah, we have some portable equipment. We'll do some mini ones. They're not going to be as long as these, but
we're going to do what we can when we can. And that's all you can offer from anyone. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do in the break from doing this TV show. I'm not going to watch the news.
Nice.
I feel like I've done 20 episodes of having to care about everything. I'm going to go through a small period in my life, maybe just for a month, where I don't give a shit about anything. So I'll just
wait. It's been a really long year because you have to look at the news every day.
I did six months of it. Now we have to do a whole year next year, but it's like it does get to a stage where you're like, every time I watch a news story, I'm like, fuck, I need an opinion on this. And so I want to be opinionless. So please don't tweet me and ask me what I think about blah, 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 because I don't have an opinion. All I have an opinion about now is getting drunk and having the occasional wank.
By yourself.
Sounds like a lovely.
Make sure you clarify that in this day and age, right?
Yes, by myself.
Not in the plants.
Yeah, with not in the plant, with no female comedians in the room.
All the curtains are closed.
Just a normal solo wank where we can all be respected.
Everyone.
I'm Jim Jefferies. I'm going to try to do worse over the break. Good night.
All right, everybody, please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in not too long. Not next week, but soon. Jim, you usually say something now in the background.
Good night, everyone.